$10,000 and I'm getting them all right now. You know, the humor's not that great. Come on.
Everybody's a critic.
I know. All right. Then here we are. I'm going to start the meeting. We are assembled for a regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Facilities Committee, Wednesday, June 8th. And I'm joined at the start of the meeting by Councillor Albright, who's vice chair of the committee. From Ward 2, Councillor Lozado. From Ward 7, Councillor Rupaul Glaser. Ward 3, Councillor and President of the Board, Scott Lennon. And Councillor Cheryl Lappin from Ward 2. And I'm Deb Crossley, chair of the committee, and from Ward 5. And our clerk is Nadia Khan. So the first item on the agenda was supposed to have been a joint meeting with Programs and Services. This is authorization to enter into a settlement agreement with National Grid, item number 175-16. And I don't know who is presenting this item, and we were supposed to get the settlement agreement this evening. So we're ready.
Would you like to join us? Well, wait a minute. If they have a confidentiality clause in them, how are we going to discuss the settlement?
So, the settlement agreement does have a confidentiality clause in it, but what we say is that people can request a copy of it under the public records law, and I would be required to give it. So, it's a very simple settlement agreement. I'm going to hand it out for purposes of the meeting here. I'm not really concerned about folks asking for it. I think the Newton tab, if it is entered into, is asked for a copy of it. It simply has the amount, it has a release, and it has one paragraph regarding communicating regarding future planting. So I'm prepared to hand it out to the group here.
May I?
Yes.
So the city has entered into a confidential settlement agreement.
We have a confidentiality clause in it.
Which is to be explained for those of us who are not lawyers.
But the problem, yeah. So the problem is, so a confidentiality clause says that neither party shall disclose to anyone else the terms of the agreement unless it was a public records request or we had a subpoena. However, if I'm asking for the group for an agreement that we can enter into this, I don't see any way that we can do it outside of really executive session. And I know that we had originally scheduled for it for an executive session, and then it's agreed that.
Well, how can we discuss? How can we discuss
about an executive session?
How can we discuss candidly the terms and conditions in the settlement and your thought process involved in negotiating the settlement without running the risk that we're violating the terms of the agreement? And if we're doing our jobs right, I want to discuss with my colleagues what you did, why you did it, why you're seeking approval.
Right.
We have this all the time on the school committee, and we have this elsewhere in the council.
Yeah.
We have litigation, you know.
I've gone into executive session on them before, but I believe that even the amount was given in the...
We have discussed the amount.
Yeah.
Well, then you're comfortable with us discussing everything and anything about the settlement agreement?
I'm comfortable discussing the facts of it. I mean, I think it does involve, you know, the people of the city of Newton in terms of the shade tree damage. I feel like I'm in a quandary as to how to deal with the matter without discussing it in the public forum, really.
So we have a problem.
So can I just try to clarify? So this was originally going to be scheduled
to go into an executive session the Wednesday of committee of a whole during budget. We ran late, okay? So we were trying to figure out what to do, and there was some time sensitivity to it, I thought. The question was, did we hold it that night or not, the executive session? Okay, I believe it was on the agenda. I approached Maureen because she was there and said, how do we, you know, do we still want to do this? If the hour was late, however we want to handle it, the understanding through Maureen was that we would still be able to do this through the regular committee process. So we did not hold the executive session that night. And it was decided that we would refer it to the three committees and we would take it up.
I'm sensing some discomfort from Donna Lynn. Am I wrong?
Did you say that again about confidentiality between both parties? So wouldn't we be breaking that by doing this?
No.
So how can we do that? He seems to change it in the agreement to make it not confidential, or we shouldn't break it. So. One or the other.
I would be more comfortable to go into executive session, frankly. Which we can't do without noticing.
And you want the rest of the council there, so.
Yeah, right.
We need to approve the settlement?
I do not believe we need to approve the settlement. I did this because I know you've been involved and I wanted to tell people about it privately. I mean, it is very unusual that we get money. When we are spending money, I am required to come before you. But I don't think I'm required to come before you for the settlement.
Wait a minute. We have an expenditure of city resources in terms of filing a lawsuit to recover money.
No, we don't. We did not file a lawsuit.
We expended city time and energy before we filed a lawsuit to reach a settlement, right?
No, we did not file a lawsuit to reach a settlement.
Before we filed a lawsuit, we didn't file, is what you're saying.
We did not file a lawsuit.
But we've reached a settlement.
Correct.
So, I think Donna Lynn just said that you would be more comfortable going into executive session. Mm-hmm. We're not going to do that tonight.
Yeah. Okay.
In the meantime, if we're going to hold this and then hold an executive session for the entire council, I think it would be helpful if you could get some feedback from National Grid about how important this confidence, since it's been in the newspaper, there's not much confidentiality to it, so if we could get them to the point, because we do want to try and discuss it, because there is interest in the public, as you said, amongst members of the public, and we would like to have some public discussion, but for now, I'm going to move forward, since we're not going to...
I don't think we can understand why there's a confidentiality. There's something in the document that somebody doesn't want to have spilled, but
the amount,
but it's already out of it.
So can you go back?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Scott. I know. Yeah.
Is there still some time sensitivity to it? Or is it, because if not...
I'm simply holding on to it, Jack. Again, I really don't think that I need the approval. This is almost more informational to let you know. I felt it was only fair because we've been in a lot of discussions about this, and I didn't think it was right for me to just say,
I'm only asking the question because of we're getting into a lighter council schedule, so I'm trying to understand. At this time,
I've been holding on to the test for quite some time. So the docket item reads that the mayor is requesting authorization from the council. Is that incorrect?
We don't need authorization to do that.
Monday the 20th.
I'd rather do it then. I'd rather do it then with a notice of doing an executive session than between doing.
I'm assuming I can have a full discussion with you as to how I got to the amount and
what you think of it. We're not going to hold the committee's time trying to figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Okay. You'd rather do it in an executive session, and you all are going to figure out when that
can
do.
Okay. It won't take me very long to explain the settlement, because it's very brief.
Okay.
But my reasoning behind it may take a little bit longer, and you may have some questions.
Okay. Yeah. And at that point, you can inform us just how much information about it you may share and may not share.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
So
we have a motion to hold.
I'm sorry.
No, we have a motion to hold. All in favor? Unanimous.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, folks.
Thank you. We have four petitions before us this evening. For granted location of various kinds. And then we have two, and we need to take those up right away. Then just so if they know what we're doing, we will be entering into a discussion about the rulemaking period that is in progress, where we have an opportunity to provide comments to the DCU about Governor Patrick's Act from 2014 on natural gas leaks. And well, I'll leave any description of it until later, but I hope you all had a chance to read Alan Randall's letter. And then the new item on the agenda is about the Cabot School. So let's see how we get through this first bunch of petitions. Item number 161-16 is Comcast petition for grant of location to install pipes from a pole on Langland Road across Washington Street, and this is in Ward 2. And we are joined by
Manuel Picado, representing Comcast.
Okay.
Comcast again wishes to gain approval for placing conduit starting at pole NT on Langland Road, trenching approximately 80 feet toward Washington Street, securing across Washington Street. 110 feet to property line to 580 Washington Street will be placed in 1 3-inch pipe in roadway following town specifications.
There's a picture.
That is right behind
the agenda, and
it's an aerial.
Yeah,
it's an aerial.
That well, from here.
You have it.
It's hard to read, actually, in the packet.
Yeah.
It's a great thing to look at.
Yeah.
Okay. There you go. So, could you just, it's hard to tell where this is.
So, it starts on Lane Glen Road.
Lane Glen.
It's not just the last utility pole there. Goes down approximately 80 feet to cross Washington Street to the southern side and then easterly to the property at 580 Washington Street.
And what property is that? Do you know that this is a business?
It's a business, correct. Yeah.
580 National Catholic
Purchasing Services. Catholic Purchasing Services.
Okay.
What is
the business name? So when
do you plan to do this work? Well, once it's approved here, and we get in touch with the DPW for permitting process, and then we get in touch with the police department to schedule with them. What we'd like to do is find out what they want us to do the work. If they know the safety portion of it better than we do, so once the police will recommend to us a good time, is it going to be evening, is it going to be day, that type. Once that happens, then we'll go ahead and start our six-day process and schedule it with their approval. Typically within 30 days, we'd like to get it completed.
Okay. Any other comments?
Or
when?
Does anybody in the room know? Is this a private way?
The Langland Road that comes out to Whole Foods,
right,
is the private way.
That's what I thought. Yeah. That's where I thought they were going.
This is coming.
The other part.
This is coming. This is the other side of Langland Road.
Is it near Our Lady?
Yeah, exactly. The bus, the cat. It's now the Cat Academy.
Okay.
It comes out from the middle of there out to Washington Street, across Washington.
Okay.
It's not on a private way section.
Are the wires on the
Wednesday, when are you all set?
Well, I was asking because the section I thought it was on is, as you know, is it's pretty rough shape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so this has nothing to do with it? Okay.
Are the utilities undergrounded like this?
No. Well, to this building, yes, they are. Well, all of Washington Street in this area is underground. Will be coming from aerial to underground to cross Washington Street. Correct. There's no aerial in that area.
Any other comments? Councilor Albright, would you like to include the idea?
Do you have a hearing in
there? Thank you very much. If anyone here, I will open the public hearing. Is anyone here to speak for or against the petition? Any comments from engineering? Okay. I'll close the public hearing now. And we have a motion to approve this item. Yes, sir.
Just one question. And it's probably for the commissioner. How are we deciding that these trenches be handled? I know that you're been advocating for this complete street. We did Franklin recently at a meeting, and it was decided that the petitioner was going to be responsible for doing the entire street over. Here it looks as though it's just the trench is going to have to be repaired, but nothing else on the street. Is that the case here?
Yes. Yeah, so what we're looking at is case by case basis. A policy, of course, is a 5-year moratorium. But we're seeing some of these projects come in, and we're getting that discussion after.
Right.
But they're near the end of the 5 year, so we're asking for some more stringent requirements to protect the street. So we look at these on a 30-by-case basis. If we feel that additional work should be done, we're asking for that.
All right, so in this case, we're fine with just repairing the 3-foot trench or whatever?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
We have a motion to approve by Councilor Albright. All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. Thank you very much. Item 162-16 is Verizon. New England petition for grant of location to install conduits in Upland Avenue from an existing manhole to a handhole in front of 128 Upland Avenue. That's in Ward 8, and we are joined by
Elizabeth Kelly, Prison Valley Communications. I'm a contract right-of-way agent for Verizon. Mm-hmm. And I am representing Verizon tonight for the petition to place the conduit to provide service to 128 Upland. And the backstory to that is that we asked for the petition upon notification from the city that we had made an error and gone out on thinking it was private way, and our contractor went out and did the work. So the work has been done.
Oh.
So, full disclosure.
Okay.
But I didn't get involved actually until that time was that there was confusion with whoever they spoke with or their, whatever research was done to find out whether it was private or public, and they assumed that it was private.
Okay. So, engineering, would you like to tell your story there?
Because the contractor thought it was a private way, there's no comment.
There's no
private? He didn't come to us.
Oh.
He didn't thought it was a private way. He thought it was a private way portion of Upland. Upland Road is a private way.
I understand.
He thought that private way continued. It's a private way, an alternative. He went and installed a conduit. Mm-hmm. We got wind there and said, wait a minute, you need to grant location, you need a permit. He thought it was a private way. Mm-hmm. So then he followed up with the permit. And he got his permit, he did it correctly. He installed the conduit and actually correctly. So I said, I'm not allowed to ask him. He said, well, he asked him, he's not going to go into the case, and now we don't have to go into the case. That's the short story.
I have a question before I open
this
up.
Yeah. You don't get your permit from Dr. Because then they don't belong to the case.
That's surprising to me, because you need a permit for construction on anybody's property.
Well, you know,
that building
is
okay.
So, not to give Elizabeth a hard time because she drew this short straw to be here tonight, but Everybody's talking about the contractor, but Verizon is the petitioner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're not new to the area. So, it has nothing really to do with the contractor. I mean, Verizon's responsible, and they should be doing research into whether or not a permit's required. So, can you help me with that?
Other than apologizing, and it was not an intentional error, and had they known that, it wouldn't have been done that way. The people that I spoke with after the fact to get this information on this, the immediate response from the Verizon person in charge would be, we don't go out in the public way without a grant of location. So they had it within an error.
Lou would like to respond to that.
Well, it was just to remind that Upland Ave is a very peculiar road.
Right,
from north to south, it starts off as private, mm-hmm. then it becomes public, then the south end is private. It's very confusing if someone really doesn't know that, understand that. So just, I'm not defending them, but it's one of the more peculiar roads in the city, where it's private, public, private.
Okay.
No. But wouldn't they have just looked the number up and it would tell you?
If
I were Verizon, I would look up the address rather than that. It's already been done. So.
It's been done correctly. So, according to our engineering department, when?
So, just as an aside, because I had a street opening issue yesterday, as it still happened, in my ward. And what I came to find out is, there's a little bit of a disconnect when somebody comes in and does ask for permission to open the street and they get their permit, that they don't always follow up and get a police detail, for instance, and can go out there and start the work and try to save some money and see if they get caught, whatever. But my understanding is that John Daly is working with Daryl to try to make sure that there's follow-up. With your department, that if you tell somebody that they it's okay, but they need to get a detail, that they're following up with the police department to make sure that happens, which I think is a good idea. I just want to encourage it.
So with that, I need to open.
Really has nothing to do with this particular situation.
I hear that. Thank you. So, is there anyone here, open the public hearing, speak for or against this petition? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing. And do I have a motion?
I just want to point out that this is not the way business is done. We're not setting a precedent here. I hope we don't see this again from Verizon. And I know that when we see it from a developer, it's a real huge problem. So. But it's been done, and it's just a good thing that happens.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. With that?
Motion for reluctantly approve.
Okay. So all those who want to reluctantly approve, Mr. President, yes? Okay, it is unanimous. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next. Is item 190-16. And for this, we have a separate map in our package, large scale map. This is National Grid petitioning for grant of location to install conduits on Wendell Road from an existing gas main in Dedham Street in order to reach a house number 126 for a new gas service. Looks like you've been on vacation.
It was, yeah.
Let's hope not.
My name is Jeff Friedman, and I'm the permanent representative of National Grid. And tonight, National Grid hereby respectfully requests your consent to install and maintain approximately 210 feet, more or less, of 4-inch gas main in Wendell Road, Newton. From the existing 12-inch gas main in Dedham Street, northerly to house 126 for our new gas service.
Okay, I know that the engineering department would like to have something to say about this item first, and then I'll open it up for comments. Is that correct, Luke?
Yeah, the issue with the new proposed gas main on Wendell Road and very similar to the issue with the Mutual Home Gas Main on Old Farm Road. When the road was cleared in 2012, we're still within the 5 years moratorium, which is policy moratorium. I'll talk about that later. But same situation where this portion of the road does not have gas, that Denham Street does have gas, and they're proposing to bring gas in from Denham Street down the Lundell Road to inspect in the house next. They're proposing 25 feet, and only over 25 feet at the curb, to essentially get a new roadway when they're done with the construction. We would check the compaction of the gas train with our new compaction device. It gives us the density of the compaction we'll be using, the right-wing now, daily, if you will, on other projects. And working out very well. So that's what this is, in the same situation as Old Farm Road. I'll leave it at that for now, but that's fine.
So my understanding is, or what I see here anyway, so Old Farm is back before us, and the commissioner and the department spent a lot of time thinking about, in the event that we might approve it, how much work would we ask the petitioner to take on in order to bring the street back to a fine condition. And we had a map from you showing exactly the extent of the repaving, the complete repaving that would be required. So we don't have that here. I can imagine it, but we don't have it. We need to put something in writing if the committee is so inclined to grant the...
It is in writing on the recommendations.
Okay.
Is there a map?
I didn't
see that. I have maps.
Well, we have a map.
Not of the extensive repaving that would be required.
So it says that in the recommendations from the city engineer, it's going to be...
It says milled and overlaid.
Yes. Okay. It's going to have 2 inches from curb to curb. That's what it says.
From curb to curb, but how about dimensionally?
Well, it would be from Denham Street all the way to wherever the gas train ends to get to house number 26, plus 25 feet.
Then what about on Denham Street? Because it almost goes all the way across. What about on Denham Street? It goes almost all the way across.
Oh, yeah, of course. We'll have to do Denham Street as well, of course. Yeah.
If it's a chunk of Denham Street.
So you have to go from corner to corner. It's just not drawn, so I just...
Well, we didn't.
I don't find the description completely clear. So I would expect...
You'd like us to provide you with that.
Okay. Something like that?
We did mark that.
To make it really clear what... The requirements are from you. Okay, I'm going to let the committee. So, Mark, Carol, Scott.
So, we did Denham Street, what, 4 years ago?
No, Wendell.
When we did Wendell?
Wendell was 2004.
Okay. When we did Wendell, obviously, commissioned before your time, but if we were to do Wendell today, would we be thinking about putting in all these utilities before we did a major repaving project?
So any of the current repaving projects, we are going to all the utilities. Also, something that we've been overlooking, they're looking at special permits. President Lennon brought it to our attention on one of our proposed building streets, and he thought there was a special permit on there where there was going to be utilities brought in. So we're checking those also now, which we haven't been doing in the past. So yes, we are working with the utilities. Again, if a project comes in like this is what we're talking about, because if we don't approve this now and come back after the 5 years, it's only going to require a change.
No, I understand that, and I understand the rationale for approving it because we're getting more control and a better project. What I'm trying to think prospectively, Commissioner, which is we're doing Wendell Street next year, I don't want to see these kind of petitions coming in 3 years from now. It seems to me we ought to get the work done
This is a case where there's no gas on the street, and a developer came in and built the house, or is building a house, and wants to bring gas to the house. Well, somebody has to pay for the utility.
But wouldn't it be, I'm sorry, I think...
We did and we do notify National Grid of intent to win the road. However, if at that time they don't have customers lining up for gas, they have no incentive to install gas on Windsor Road.
But
they go ahead and pave it because we were trying to improve the road. We paved it out, fast forward 4.5 years, somebody wants gas on Windsor Road.
Wouldn't it be an opportune time, if you're going to pave Wendell Road, to send some notice out to all the neighbors and say, look, we're paving Wendell Road. If you think you want to get different utilities in there, this may be a good time to do it.
We do such a letter. We don't specifically mention, if you want gas, get gas. But we mention, if you have any utilities you want brought into your house, now's the time to do it. That's in our standard letter. Now's the time to do it before we pay Wendell Road. However, the house is bought and sold the day after we pay, and then the new owner doesn't know when the new owner may want to put it in.
We're going to be talking more about this on an item that we've got specifically to deal with this. So, what did I say? Cheryl and Scott?
So, how many, you said 2012. What month was 2012? I mean, when did you do this?
I didn't do this.
So it was the spring, so it's exactly 4 years.
Yes.
So with this and with the other proposed petition, what we're really doing is saying if the policy is in 5 years, it's 4 years. It's pretty much what you're saying. You're saying if it's 4 years, you'll...
We're not changing the policy. This is how I understand. We're not changing the policy. We're considering two cases independent of the policy for now, subject to a fairly massive repaving of the road in order to preserve the condition of the street, and subject to a series of inspections and the use of particular equipment that the department now has, according to the letter we received. This is like Old Farm, but the Old Farm Road was one of the things before us.
So this is not the entire street,
though.
It's just a section of the street. So it's the integrity of the street. If the whole street was done, would have been better than this, right?
Yeah, this is one of the better streets.
Right. So this like that. So to the right of this is an older street. So when you do end up doing the other side, it's the truth that will be, you're not going to do the whole thing.
No, we're only going to do that.
Right. So, what is it? Tell me about the integrity of the street when it's breaking like that. Like when one's done,
No, that's done all the time. There'll be a joint that that's done all the time. When one street leaves another street, we'll pave in one and we don't pave
in the
other.
And that's not weaker than...
No, that's a typical road.
Okay, when was 7th Street last done?
7th Street wasn't done because,
because of the water.
The electrical, no, the electric. Lots of electric cable
around the
land. A few years ago, and then we did water main, so we haven't...
So that needs to be done, right?
7th Street needs to be done, yeah.
So, if we are going to approve this tonight, I'd love it to be with a condition that is a little clearer than what's in the documentation. And you can provide that, that will give you a specific amount of distance from on the Wendell Street side and a specific amount of distance on Dedham Street.
One other question. So Milton Overlay.
Old Farm Road was pulled up even faster.
Okay, so that's what I'm asking. When we do Wendell, it doesn't mean pulled up?
No.
Okay.
All right. I open the public hearing? Or Scott, you said something. I'm opening the public hearing. Is there anyone here to speak for or against this petition?
Well, since I'm here,
would you say your name?
Good afternoon, Christy Road. Yeah.
I'm not happy that we're bending over backwards to make either National Grid or developer happy. I think if National Grid had noticed that the world was going to be retained, that would have been the time to put in gas along the whole stretch of the street, because Wendell Road, I'm familiar with that, that's been one tear down after another. Any house that has not been torn down yet probably will be, perhaps within 5 years.
Point noted. You do understand that at the time that the road was repaved, a notice went out.
It went to National Grid.
National Grid was notified.
Yeah. And they had no customers.
They still anticipated customers.
Okay.
We cannot put gas mains in unless people are going to use the gas. Otherwise, if they go unused, we have to send them back to the ratepayer if it's not used. So the gas main, because of deregulation, has to be paid for. That's why we can't speculate.
Right, you can't just go putting it in everywhere.
Well, when I started 45 years ago, we would go and put the 2-inch gas main and drop a stub in every lot. That's not done anymore because of deregulation.
Hmm.
And that's the state statute.
Is there anyone else who would like to comment on this petition? Seeing none, I'll close the public hearing. Scott, did you?
So, I guess I would only feel more comfortable voting on this if this item was after the Old Farm Road item, because we're supposed to be getting an explanation as to why we're somewhat deviating from the policy. It sounds like we're deviating from the policy here. So that's just my first comment. Second comment is that if we're deviating from the policy, and I know this is the next item, so it's a little hairy, but I'll try to be really brief. It doesn't sound as if we're holding this particular petition to the same standard that we're holding the Old Farm Road petition to. Are we?
Different types of construction, I thought.
But we don't have to do full depth structural mention on Old Farm Road. That's already been done.
It's already been done, yes. We're holding them to the same standard.
Right, thank
you.
Well, I'll tell you what. There's no reason we can't go through in detail the rationale that Commissioner McGonigal has provided us right now, so that we understand exactly what's being requested. There's the two-page documents in here that we've seen before. Commissioner, would you like to speak to that?
I guess it's a different item. So the memo has to do with the Old Farm Road, right?
I believe what's being required is the same. Am I wrong?
Yeah, so it's the same requirement, the same process. We're going to set the compactor fence, and it will be milling overlay the entire length of the trench area. So the same exact conditions. Also, we conditioned Franklin Street recently. That same scenario is what we're doing here.
Alright, so, because I get some questions on what we're doing on Old Farm Road. So, I'm just going to abstain on this because I'm a little uncomfortable with the whole thing. So I'm going to abstain on this item.
Should we lay this on the table and complete the conversation for Old Farm Road, which I believe Mr. Regan is also here for, is that correct?
Yes.
So, we'll complete the conversation on that petition. We'll talk through the protocols that you're recommending, and then take up voting on each item. Okay. So let me just read that one into the record. Item 124-16 is National Grid petition to install maintaining an Old Farm Road from the existing 12-inch main in Brookline Street southerly to 12 Old Farm Road for a new gas line. And as we know, this was postponed to a date certain in council and suspended the rules because we had already denied this petition. So it's back before us. And we also have a map for this. And in our packets, about the middle of the packet, is the commissioner's memo to us. Anybody need one? So, we'll begin with Mr. Regan as usual.
Okay. National Grid hereby respectfully requests your consent to install and maintain approximately 200 feet more or less of 4-inch gas main in Old Farm Road, Newton, from the existing 12-inch gas main in Brookline Street, southerly to house number 12, for a new gas service.
Commissioner, you're up. Again, would you like to join us, or are you okay over there?
I'm okay over there. I'm happy to join you. It's over. You're all welcome. As we discussed earlier, a thought process here is that the moratorium will be up next spring on this. In the past, we had denied these because of fear of trench settlement. We had no way of being sure that would happen. And we didn't require milling and overlaying of this. We just require a trench. Now we have tooling where we can test compaction of the trench. We don't have to worry about the trench settling. And we're also requiring the full milling and overlaying of the entire trench length. So we're bringing the road back to new conditions, this portion of any portion of the street where there is trenching. So that's our thought process going forward. If we don't do that, we'll see the petitioner back here next spring. And again, then the moratorium will be up and we would grant the location. We would recommend granting the location and we would only have a trench repair. At the end of the day, this gives us a new street in this section again. So we're starting that process all over again. So again, we have a new street on this section.
Okay. Is there any other information you want to review that's part of the technical requirements? Or, and actually, one question. You've thoroughly discussed this with the petitioner, what the protocol is going to be?
Well, that's what we're requiring, yeah.
Okay. All right. Lou?
Just one more thing. We hired another construction inspector who's dedicated to the utility trenches. I think the final year came to inspect and ensure the utility trenches are put back the way they are, the way you expect the utility trenches.
Okay.
Okay.
So I saw Mark.
Okay. So if our policy is going to be milling overlay, and we make some cogent arguments as to why, you know, 4 years then better to do that than wait a year and have them go trench. Why are we having a moratorium at all for a mill and overlay? Or B, should we require a mill and overlay for any time anybody does any utility work, and then we don't have a problem with it?
And we could, and I think that's the discussion we're heading towards. This will be part of our streets policy that we've committed to put together this year, because those are questions that we need to answer. And, you know, as public works and engineering, we'd be very happy to do that.
So, may I follow up?
Mm-hmm.
So, how much more expensive is it to mill an overlay as opposed to filling in a trench?
Yeah,
we did one. We did a quick one. So, we'll follow up.
Just to understand what
the parking purposes for Old Farm Road, the mill and overlay cost, I'm estimating at around $9,000. The trench repair, in 2017, the trench repair would be about $2,700. So we're saying about three times as much, maybe.
But Old Farm Road is a fairly large project compared to, say, Wendell?
No, well, that's why it's almost the same. Because we're only going to the second house, same at Old Farm Road. We're only going to the second house now.
Okay.
So that's why it's almost the same.
I guess we'll have to wait for your report, but I can see some very good arguments for saying you're going to dig up our street trenches are not okay. And that might enable us to start doing some road work. We'll get some better roads, obviously, we'll get mill and overlay in certain areas, and avoid further deterioration, because the trenches clearly don't work very well.
Correct.
So I would be supportive of that kind of requirement across the board, for what it's worth.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So
that's exactly my thought. And I actually wanted to ask you, typically in other cities and towns, do you see this mill overlay requirement?
Sometimes. And it has to do, I think, with the age of the asphalt they're working on.
So sometimes cities and towns require
it? Sometimes, yes. And so I think, and there's rules in place, I think, statewide for the 5 years.
Yeah. I mean, it seems to make a lot of sense to go this way. If we end up with a pine road at the end, and then people get their dead pines as well, or whatever else it's being set up for, this makes sense to me.
Scott, Lenny, Central. So I just wanted to touch base, Commissioner, on the memo, because you had me the whole way up until the last paragraph, right? So the last paragraph, this is a change to the policy in the year five of the moratorium, right? Those conditions attached. We have no intention of revising the policy. But I think what I just heard you say was you are considering a revision of the policy as we move along here. And I just think that for this committee and for the public in general, that policy needs to be somewhere that we can all see it and understand it, because it sounds as if what we're doing is we're deviating. It's giving you an awful lot of discretion and engineering an awful lot of discretion, it sounds like. And I just think it's important to be fair to everybody, that someone comes in and you guys have a discretion based on age, based on this, based on that. You can say, well, I want to know an overlay here. But here, like I just heard earlier, Lenny said, what are you going to do on Lenny? Well, it's okay to put a trench there. You know what I mean? But here, we're going to know an overlay.
Well, that's because Lenny hasn't paid the
I get it. I get it. But I'm just trying to say that if you put together some sort of policy that's transparent to everybody, your policy may have like a preamble to talk about we would allow the trench because of age or this or that, or you know, we would allow you to put a trench because we're going to do the street over in a year or so. Like, I'm not trying to micromanage it. I'm just trying to see this so that everybody kind of knows what the rules are going in. Because like Lenny said, he had a street opening issue. We did street opening issues. Come and say, well, what am I supposed to have? What am I going to have to do? And we're trying to say, I'm not sure what you're going to have to do. You may have to do a trench. You may have to do mill and overlay. You may have to do the whole thing. I just think that if we all kind of know what's going on, it cuts down on what we can relay to folks. It cuts down on inquiries that I'm sending emails to you and back and Lou. I just think to have it all out, we need to have that. So I support what it is you're trying to do. Like, I understood the whole piece of what you're saying here. I get it. I think it makes sense. I just think that we should kind of know what's going on. And petitioners should know what's going on, and developers should know what's going on. I think it should be laid out there a little bit. So,
no, we plan on clarifying that. So I apologize for the last paragraph, because I meant right now at this point in time.
Right.
But we do want to revise this policy. We want to clarify it. But right now it's too loose.
Right.
And again, at the end of the day, we care about the condition of the street.
Right.
And that's why we're making these recommendations, because we know 12 months from now we're getting a trench,
right,
most likely.
And I don't mind, I told you, Liz, I'll finish. I don't mind you having the discretion, or Lou having the discretion. I just want to kind of know going in, because we all get decisions that come to us, or at least I don't know how to say, well, I'm working over here, and they made so-and-so do X, but I'm being made to do Y.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't answer that question, why?
No, that would be easier for all of us. Sorry, we want that same thing.
Fair enough. Cool. Thanks.
Okay. So,
Len,
Cheryl,
should I do
that in the right
order? Yeah. So, on the petition itself, I am certainly comfortable with what is being recommended, and I'm prepared to vote for it whenever Cheryl maybe makes a motion. So, I wanted to say that we're getting off a little bit into the discussion of the next item, but still, I want to just respond to something, because as you know, I'm traveling and I got to get out of here in half an hour. So, I think if I heard you correctly, your suggestion was, if you're going to open up a street, then we ought to seriously think about making everybody mill and overlay, regardless of any time restrictions.
If I can respond to that, you know, a 30-year-old road that we're going to pave the following year, I'd say no, don't make somebody do that. But I think the presumption should be mill and overlay rather than the other way.
All right. So the only.
Wait, can I just, because the commissioner just said that if they came back in a year from now, they would only trench.
Right.
So I don't think we should have such a rule. It's only 6 years old instead of five, but still, why not mill and overlay? So I'm going to interject there, because we are getting into next.
So let me just, it's a point of clarification.
Go ahead.
But my understanding is, is that we cannot dictate that the utility do that. That there are state, that the restrictions are governed by the state for the most part. I think what you were saying is that there's statewide, there are some rules about 5 years, but then after that, I don't think the city and town, we were told this recently, can require a utility. We got into this on Franklin, to have to fully mill an overlay. So if we're going to require that, it's going to come back on a lot of constituents. That's all that's the only point I'm trying to make. We have to move carefully. Because it's three times the cost. And that's what we were told on Franklin, that we're limited on what we can require public utilities to do. Is that not correct?
The 5 years is what most times it allows.
Don't some have 10 years? Don't some have longer periods of time?
We're going to discuss and point that.
I need to understand what
the rules are. So I'm going to suggest that as part of the work we need to do,
But didn't you guys during Franklin Street tell us that we're limited in what we can require utilities?
That's what the law told us, but because it's in the law,
Clarification on that, because I thought the DTU, the state DTU or whatever, control that, what we can require them to do.
I don't know what the rules are right now from the state. It's certainly part of the work that we have going forward. What I'd like to do is focus on these two items. I don't think I opened a public hearing for this old farm again. I'm going to open the public hearing.
Okay.
Is there someone here to speak for or against this petition?
Well, I'm not sure to see it. My name is Amish Gupta. I live at 33 Old Farm. I'm currently on the oil. And I have two neighbors, 41 Old Farm and 47 Old Farm, both of which are also on oil and very much interested in converting to natural gas as a mine. We have two additional neighbors who are also potentially using them as well. So I'm not sure if this is the right time.
That's fine. Go ahead.
Sorry if I didn't answer, but the things I wanted to do is to let the National Grid know that there is strong interest.
Well,
I can give you contacts in the marketing and sales.
So we've been through this a number of times in this committee for all kinds of utility requests, and the gas company only, as I understand it, and Mr. Regan can correct me, that they only respond to customer requests. So a notice goes out. We heard this 6 weeks ago or something. So, and there would have been a notice at that point, because this is back to the committee now. And you and your neighbors would need to file a request for gas service. And then it will be an issue for us, again, regarding the condition of the street moving further up the roadway. It's going to be costly to do before the moratorium period is up. But as you've been hearing a little bit, we are going to be perhaps revising our ordinances to give them a little more teeth. But, all right.
And
the
moratorium for us,
Just so you're aware, we addressed a very similar issue a couple of months ago on another street, Franklin Street. I don't think this is the work we ought to be doing in committee, Madam Chair, but I strongly suggest you talk to Mr. Taverna, who's quite familiar with this issue now, probably more than he wants to be, and talk about how you might get this done as a group, talk to the other, the petitioner on this. I mean, there may be some joint interests here that you can get what you want done. It may actually cost the petitioner less money if it's done according to the fashion, all of which people will be happy about. But I don't think we're able to do that in this body, but you really should talk to them about that offline.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cheryl, did you want to add to that?
Yeah. Well, I was going to mention what we did a couple of weeks ago, which was somebody came in and wanted to put gas. Was it gas?
No, electric.
Electric. And then there was another group of people that did too. So we ended up holding the first one and had them talk to each other. So
we came up with a deal that was pretty complex.
Right.
And approved the petition that was before us, but and made it clear that we really had no authority
right.
to go any further than that, but we got the parties to agree. We got the petitioner in that case to agree to postpone his work for a bit for a certain period of time in order to give the other residents time to file their petitions and work with them.
So the petitioner is here if you want to talk to him. That's another. Because everybody could save money.
Who wants to talk? So the public hearing is still open. Is there someone else who would like to speak for or against this petition? No. Okay. No one. All right, so I'll close the public hearing.
One question.
Yeah.
So the other petition was different because it had not been fully reclamated. Or is that the correct terminology?
Reclaimed. Yeah,
reclamation. Full reclamation.
That's right. What we did was to redo the street. The
yep.
process was different. What we're asking to be redone is
it's the same.
We're milling and overlaying.
Right, but we had just totally.
We did full depth reclamation.
Full depth reclamation.
Yes.
But we're not asking them to do the same thing.
No, because the base on Old Town Road has
it's still good.
Corrected.
Right.
It's extended. We need to do again. It's already there.
Okay. And one question. You had said that communities do require, there are some communities that do require. Knowing and overlaying.
At different points for different reasons. There's sometimes they do it, usually 5 years is the limit for whether,
Is it ever older than 5 years?
Well, rain trees happen more than 10 years.
Well, yeah, but there's all kinds of stipulations there that whether they're lateral or
yeah.
physical. Because I accept the town and I
do. This level of detail, I'd really like to hold it till we get, actually not even, the next when we talk about the next item, simply just want to lay out the parameters of the work
it's
that's
just
before
interesting
us.
Because we're here in the state. You don't have to do things. So that's
well, that's what we need to do is to get the facts on the table, I think.
Okay.
On the authorities. And
so, I would, in addition to a clear policy, and it's not clear that it needs to be a policy or would it be more comfortable if it were an ordinance, but either way, we would be giving you discretion. So, I think as part of the policy, it would be good to have a policy and then what discussion will look like. Like after 4 years, we'll think about it. But then what if it's 3 years and 11 months? I think we need a little, I know it's case by case, but it would be helpful. So, I will.
I think Mark has something.
Remove approval. Can I have the petitioner for Old Farm Road? Can I ask a question?
If he's willing to. Go.
Is there some sense of urgency in terms of getting this work done for your project?
Yes, the owner's one of them.
Okay, so without the work, you can't get the owners in. Is that accurate?
Correct. Everything is fired by gas.
You recall that this house was constructed.
What I'm trying to do is figure out a way that we can accomplish what you and the new owners need, the legitimate concern, but accommodate what this settlement is trying to contemplate as well.
Right. Well, I have a question. Your idea is a great idea because if you look at Louis, who has 25 feet one way, 25 the other way from where it is, okay, you have new streets and you want people, everyone to get gas. So taking every fear out. I think it's a great idea.
Well, somewhere.
So the crisis is towards the street,
So
people have to pay a little bit more, but it's worth it. You'll have the streets everywhere.
Let me suggest something, because I think this might be a little different than what went on Franklin Street, because these fellows are raring to go, okay, and they're going to be repaving a whole section of the street, and the new line is going to be going that far into the street. So the rest of the neighborhood is further down the street.
It's not going
to
affect
so
them in
it's not going to affect them. They're going to need to retain from wherever it is to wherever they're going.
I can only imagine that if you mill and overlay the whole road at the same time instead of coming back twice. So what I wanted to ask was, is it possible to do a temporary fill until the rest of the group sees that this dash lines and then do the mill and overlay?
And we don't really need to overthink it, because there may be, as Dennis is just saying, there may be another way of getting gas to them rather than having to come down Old Farm.
I'm not saying there might be a gas line coming in the other end of the street. I don't know. That
right.
Hasn't been looked at yet.
Have to
I just thought
it was going
to
happen.
I came here for
a while. Yeah.
Right.
I don't have that information. I don't want to hold
the market. Maybe wait for next spring and put in just the trench at this point. So it's not what's before us, so I'm really hoping we can.
You have to change the policy.
Yeah.
Anyway, you make a motion. This is
I'm fine.
We really want to be talking about the next item myself.
All right. Motion to approve. Both of them.
With the conditions, would we like to vote them?
With the conditions that are in here, and how the board submitted to be clarified from the other one.
Right. And Nadia will get the language from the city engineer, Taverna. Okay. So, can we vote these together?
No.
Okay. So, all in favor of the Wendell Road grant of location with conditions? That's unanimous. Thank you. All in favor of the Old Farm Road installation with conditions? Okay. That's unanimous. Thank you, Mr. Reed.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so the next item, we had a lot of discussion. Oh, I'm sorry, we have one more petition.
I should have offered to go.
Do you want to be doing that? Okay, folks. Moving right along. We have one more grant of location. You guys ready? Okay, item number 109-16B is Cellco Partnership, EBA Verizon Wireless, petition for grant of location to attach wireless communication equipment to existing utility poles at both Grove Street and Craft Street. This three items were before us previously, and we are joined again by the attorney for Verizon Wireless. And I know that there's been some work done with Solicitor Mandel. Would you like to explain us what's up? I know that there's been a lot of conversation between you and the city, and so you're going to let us know how that shared and what the situation is with those double poles, if indeed they're still there. And so put your name in.
Really, just
I read
it, please. Yeah.
Good evening. Today again is Betsy Mason.
Hey, folks, are we ready?
Yep.
All right. Thank you. Please start again.
Okay. Betsy Mason with McLean Middleton on behalf of Verizon Wireless. I was here 2 months ago for that frequency discussion, so it's good to hear that it's turned out well. seriously, of the 10 petitions for grant of location that I had for you last time, you held two back because each was posed on a poll that had, it's basically a double poll of that. There's the newer poll that we want to go on and the older poll or part of the poll that was there. And I can report to you tonight, if you're in large part, Attorney Mandel's communications with the various utilities, I take very little credit, if really none, I think, because we really had all those communications. One of the double poles has been removed, well, I guess all wires were transferred, and the pole, the second pole, the older pole, has been removed, and I have pictures. So I have, there is three sets of pictures, and there's one 85/79 next to one of the University of Washington Grove. So the pictures have just, I get a fire, and then in, let's get those in order, but just showing that there's, that is one pole at the base, and then just a side shot of the whole pole. So you can see that there is in fact just one pole there. And if you look at the plan that I submitted originally, and I can pass this around if you don't have it in front of you, but you can see that in fact, yes, that pole has been removed, that extra pole, or older pole, I should say. So that is the site that we have identified as Newton Plan 10, that's the Grove Street, Washington Street, intersection 1. So I would ask that you move that one up.
Okay, and are you only asking for us to
vote? Well, no, I'd like to ask you to pick the other one as well and vote on that as well. Hopefully vote favorably on that one. That one is a little more interesting, despite its a little great efforts. It appears that the pole owners have only removed most of that pole. If you look at that, that's 108-30. And again, a picture of the identifying tag, and then a picture showing that the base of the pole has been removed. But for some reason, and I cannot tell you why, no one from Verizon Wireless can tell you why, because we don't own the pole. We don't have anything to do with the pole.
It appears there's a guy wire to it.
I was there today. These pictures, these are from, I think in May, but this is today. What it looks like they did, and I guess it's, you know, the plans from last time, I can pass this around. These are plans that were submitted to you last time for this site. You can see that that bracket, or the two brackets that are in place, or the three brackets that are in place, were there before. So it looks like what they did was they may have moved some wires around, and then they just cut the pole off and left the top portion and removed the bottom portion.
Are there no wires attached to that little piece?
There looks like there's at least that one guy wire, and I don't know if it's the guy wire, from my look at it today, it looks like it actually goes out across the street and across, is it Churchill Street there? I mean, it goes across to a house, so I don't think it's the guy wire. I think it actually is, and I, again, I don't know whether it's telephone, fiber, or electric.
I believe that, for the Mandel, the Verizon is responsible for getting rid of it. I was told by people who went into the field that there was a guy wire attached to it, but I can't verify if it's a guy wire or something else.
Yeah, I guess, sorry, it appears to be the house. Yeah, I think the process would be twofold. We could call EverSource, which would be very helpful with this. The fire department had an attachment on one of these poles, and they transferred their wire. So everyone cooperated to get rid of the one location. We were left with this.
It was a Verizon strike. It was very hard to
That's right. Just settled late last week.
Yeah, yeah. So we didn't really have a good Verizon contact to try to
How many hours of phone calls did it require? How many hours of phone calls did it require?
Well, in front of a building every day.
What?
Well, in front of a building every day.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We're talking about that.
I'm happy to approve the work that's done. I think it's great. I'm not going to vote in favor of the other one. It's not done.
And I would again assert the fact that it's not our poll. We don't own any polls. We don't own single polls or double polls in Newton. We don't have any control over Verizon. The woman who sat here earlier from Verizon had no connection to her. Companies have no business connected to each other. And furthermore, I would say that this committee would be venturing into violating or at least flying in the face of the legislature's determination in Chapter 164, Section 34B, which the legislature required basically set up a deadline for the rule don't hold by coal owners utilities, whatever electric utility is, said when you put in a new poll and leave the old poll in place, you have 90 days to remove the old poll. However, the legislature did not specify who got to enforce that. And in fact, the SJC had to weigh in and sifted through it and said that enforcement authority is solely vested in the Department of Cable. Municipalities cannot enforce that.
We're not enforcing with this bill. It's not been done for the COVID.
Right. And in that case, I would say, as I said last time, that would be a situation such a denial of our petition because we can't do anything about it. So you're simply if the committee were to make that recommendation to the full council, we would do it that way.
Fine.
I just wanted to ask, who fixes these?
Fixes what?
Well, who leaves them like this? Like that, and all this?
Verizon or Eversource, I would guess. Or whoever actually, it would have to be Verizon or Eversource because they are the poll owners.
Right, no. So, you know what I mean? Like, we leave it like this?
No, well, eventually, we'll end up fixing that. We own that.
So, trying to figure out who, like,
if they break the.
I don't want to dive out. Can we talk about this too? That this is what pisses people off a lot of times. You know, as much as the double portal. You know, when everyone leaves and it looks like this.
And it's a safety issue.
Oh, wait a minute, you
don't want to say that. No, I'm not.
Now, I understand the frustration with double polls, and I've actually gotten similar feedback, if you will, from a number of city councils and board of selection across the Commonwealth. They're like, you know, you're Verizon. Well, we're not Verizon, we don't have polls. Well, do something about it anyway. There's nothing we can do about it, and it's
core.
The FCC held a workshop earlier in May, basically trying to move together on these small cell installations because I'm sure you've all heard this idea of the Internet of Things and 5G. We went from 2G to 4G, now we're going to 5G because everybody is using their phones. Everybody's using their phones for data. And the FCC chairman stated that the expansion of cell phone, if you will, coverage over the past 20 years, the installation of the big macro cell towers that you've seen that has taken the past 20 years to put into place, all those big things. A similar amount of growth is going to occur with small cells over the next 2 years. So that entire, basically the whole thing is going to increase exponentially. So this is something that's coming. It's coming because Congress said wireless carriers, Verizon, AT&T, all of you need to have seamless coverage across the country. But it's also is coming because we're all sitting here, most likely, all of us. I know I am, with my phone in my pocket. Actually, some of you say we all use our phones for everything these days. Not just phone calls, they're text, data, and we're trying to provide the service that people are requesting. Here, it is obviously a clash between what is the right thing to do to try and get these double poles gone. They're aesthetically unpleasing. I've heard, I think, justifiably that they're safety concerns. There is nothing you can do about it.
I hear you. It would not be my personal intention to hold
one company hostage to what another company is supposed to be doing. I think it was a good exercise to go through in this case, but I think we have hundreds of these across the city. And probably need to have a separate discussion about how that Attorney Mandel has become an expert in making one and a half of them go away. we can have a better informed discussion about a process to move through the city to do this.
Just a couple of thoughts. I look at the picture, and the first thing that came to mind was, is there any kind of safety code violation? You know, even if we're
it looks like it.
In this case, maybe I see to direct the Verizon to avoid it, based on a safety code violation, not a double phone.
Well, that was my concern in approving the decision previously, and adding.
You pick up the phone, talk to IFC?
I didn't talk to them.
But this is going to add a weight with additional equipment to a pole that already has another pole hanging off it. So structurally, I don't know that it's dangerous, but it certainly appears as though you're doing a dumb thing, you know.
With regard to structural, if I can something just on a structural thing, the pole owners don't allow the site to be licensed to us unless structural analysis is completed. So EverSource and or Verizon do their own structural analysis before.
Of the second pole hanging off the
feet. Yeah, that would be a very low bar.
That actually, I don't know. So if you want to continue this again, I don't know if I can find out, or maybe I'll just tell Verizon Wireless to go find a different pole, since this one is obviously... I personally can't. I could suggest to them that they might find it easier in the long run to do that. But that's ridiculous. We all know that's ridiculous.
The moving of one wire. What would you say if we held this one more time?
I didn't see this until today when I saw when it was the site. I was appalled. I
strike over.
So
the problem.
If we can, if I can come back on your next agenda and
sure. Okay, let's let people have a say.
So, I'm sorry.
So the problem is that Verizon Wireless is doing nothing to help. You're not doing anything to help yourself or us to get this forward. Our attorney is spending his time doing this work. So is this the way we want Attorney Mandel to spend his time calling and emailing about trouble polls? I'm not sure I want him to do that.
So here's the simple solution. You call ISD tomorrow morning first thing and have someone go out there. And if they think there's a violation, you cite them. That's the end of it.
Is it ISD or is it engineering?
Who is it? All right, so it's ISU, right?
I don't know.
Well, who has jurisdiction over an obvious safety issue?
What's unsafe? Josh Marsh would like to see.
ISU can be an unsafe engagement or structure and cite somebody and force them to do something. It may take a little more time in the case of a utility company, but they do have that authority.
So who's going to call ISU tomorrow morning about this?
I'm going to do the 12 hours in the past year.
Because that's if we have a problem like this, here's an obvious solution. Someone's not paying attention. That's where unfortunate people are.
I'm afraid it needs a variety of efforts because we, as you know, and as we've discovered, our own fire department has wire funding of these poles where we have double pole conditions. So
what are you going to do? Fine. Yeah, I'm just
telling you that
the fire department
is our fire department. Fire department.
The fire department has wire on many of these double poles.
I've been needing a double pole for 2 years. I'm talking about this issue, okay? If it's a safety issue, cite them.
Yes, it is.
I'm
not sure that it is a safety.
They're probably saying that low bar, what's the threshold?
What are you looking for?
I'm ready to let these go forward at the moment because I think we've gone through an exercise where we've learned something, and if we want to pick up the matter
Can we break them off?
Yes, absolutely. So, if the committee would rather...
let's go on the first one to see.
Yeah. I'll go on the first one.
Who would like to make a motion to approve the location of the equipment on...
I'll move it.
Okay. We have a motion from Councilor Gentile. All in favor?
Aye.
That's unanimous. And do you have the correct location for this? Do I have a motion to approve or deny or hold the second item, second location?
Deny or to double the whole crab.
Okay. We have a motion to hold. All in favor of hold? We're going to go to the next section. Okay, folks. That concludes our list of petitions. We have already had a discussion on the next item to a degree, but I would like to invite the commission to join us to wrap that up. Item 1 to 3.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Do we think that the draft one is going to go fast?
Why don't we send him, get him out of here, Madam Chair? The private school can't be that long.
For us to take up the Cabot School first. I don't know how quick it's going to be. But, sure.
Okay.
All right. The addendum to the packet that we received on Monday night is item 213-15. Navarro Lamera requesting authorization to appropriate $400,000 from bonded addendum for the purpose of funding the completion of the schematic design and site plan approval for the Cabot School project. It's just so they know, now we went to get
So I as well did not know how quickly this would go. I have a presentation that was submitted. It's in your backup. I am happy to pull it up on the small board if we need to, but it is no different than what was presented in the school committee and city council update. And it's no different than all the materials that have been sent out a lot to everybody involved. Big picture, we have recently had a unanimous vote to continue with the original design, Plan A, if you will. This is the one with the gym on the Cabot Park / Cabot Street side of the building, the library on Bridges, and then the more massing on the north side of the property. Just to keep in mind and frame where we're at, this is not site plan approval. It's not what we're asking for. This is design and project management funds to get us through site plan approval. We anticipate that to be in the late fall, but there's a little bit of wiggle room on that front. If it's ready earlier, which I kind of anticipate it might be, then we will take it to the group, obviously, earlier. But we also have to align that with MSBA. It's kind of a dance. We try not to get the council to approve it too much before MSBA gets it and vice versa. So sometimes it's a little bit of a feeling out period with MSBA. The big picture, it's $200,000 for design, $100,000 for our owner's project manager, $50,000 for environmental and site, and $50,000 for other. And other is a hodgepodge of smaller consultants like continuing our traffic analysis, landscaping, which a lot of those may not seem like things we need at this point, but site plan approval, oftentimes landscaping is how we break up massing, how we shield light pollution. There's the environmental, we're continuing our studies on environmental, which is not only, our oil tanks, but it's also things like, in effect, not environmental, but it's civil, but it's a runoff and, we didn't As soon as the vote was taken a month ago to look at the other options, we stopped a lot of our consultants because we didn't want to spend time looking at things that ultimately could change if we decided to go a different direction. So that's big picture. The other thing that I'd like to point out in general is that for Cabot, we are going way further in design in order to achieve site plan approval. And we're doing that because the Cabot community has expressed concerns about things that in other projects were not confirmed prior to site plan approval. For instance, the parking management plan. At Anger, we didn't get into a parking management plan until well into the construction of the project. So obviously, site plan approval was done. At Cabot, because of the concerns of the neighbors and city councilors, and I'm not saying that they were the bad concerns, we just found the community that's much more involved in everything. So I know that in order to get site plan approval where you need to address the parking and where the parking is going to occur, traffic again, if you remember the decision for our traffic improvements on Anger even and on Zervis, both did not occur. Anger didn't occur until well into construction, and Zervis has not been decided yet, and we're swinging steel. So, but I think for this, we're going to need to have not a final traffic plan, but we're going to have to be much further along than where we were. And lastly, the design needs to be further along because all the time, when we get 558, one of the conditions is to work with the DRC about breaking up the mass and using a variety of external building materials, and then going back to the council to update them on the building materials that are selected. In this case, I don't feel we're going to be able to get site plan approval with a big white box. We're going to have some materials and material boards and some renderings with what we are looking to do and not just colored renderings, as is typically the case for 558. I'm happy to go through the slides, but again, I felt like it would be difficult for people not to have seen it.
Right. Could you talk a little bit about very few numbers here, but in the context of the overall design budget, where just additional appropriations,
Oh, sure, yeah. No, I should have mentioned that. So I don't want anybody to think that we're spending extra money on design. This is just money that would have normally been spent after 558, but because we need to further these plans along far enough in order to get 558, we're asking for them now.
Didn't it just cost us money to explore the design alternatives, however?
So a delay does to some extent. But I want to remind folks that the design, the plan B that we looked at, was an option that we looked at early on. So it was really dusting off that original design and looking at it from a programmatic standpoint. There was a slight difference in that the plan that I'm referring to was actually 2.5 years ago, A4. But what we had looked at was moving the map. One of the challenges of A4 was to put mapping on bridges, and we looked to push that towards Cabot Park further to minimize the mapping effect on bridges. And then there were some other modifications within that plan, playing with the cafeteria and the gym location within the building itself. But they weren't starting from scratch, I guess is what I'm saying.
No, I realize that. I just had to have a mountain because there were many design alternatives
Well, it's not reflected in the request that's sitting before the council now. It's reflected in the $1 million that was previously approved. We utilized our last portion of the $1 million in order to forward this through the last vote that we took. So if the question is, was there money spent on that 4 week? Of course there was. We just got the vote, so to quantify that, they I haven't got bills for that yet.
So would you ask for an appropriation for that?
No, because it was money that was already previously approved. It came out of the million that was previously approved.
All right, and this is ultimately there's not going to be a taking from a contingency fund or something to.
No.
We're solid.
No.
Okay, I can leave this for
finance.
I can get deep into the finances if you want. I mean, I have all the information.
I know the process. We went through this. work, and it had to cost something.
Yeah.
Okay, any comments, questions? None? Anybody?
I want to hear what Ruth Ann has to say. I don't want to hear her face.
So, a couple things. First of all, for the finance meeting, I'd really like to have our normal habits.
The big two?
Financial spreadsheet. There's the big one, and then there's the more consolidated one. We need one or either or both to understand what we've expended already on habits. My understanding is that we have actually surpassed the $1 million, and we were over it. So I'd love to have that for Monday night. Is it going Monday night?
It is going Monday night. Answer that real quick. The architect and even the owner's property manager asked for additional funds. We said, no, we don't have additional funds. They said, what happens if we proceed at our own risk? Well, then you proceed at your own risk, but we can't spend money we don't have. So we couldn't have exceeded $1 million because can't spend money. I literally don't have the money to spend.
But you have bills from them. You're going to get bills from them.
I don't have bills from them. They bill on a monthly basis. I don't have bills from them. Now, what's challenging is that when they bill for different, there's not a bill up front. Like, they bill for different periods. So we negotiate a bill for the feasibility for each phase of the project as we go along. So what I can't tell you is, if they're billing for the next phase, they bill on a lump sum, and then they bill it monthly. I can't tell you for sure that, if they felt like they put in 50 extra hours in the last phase, is there 50 hours in the lump sum on the next phase? I couldn't tell you that. That's not how they break it out. It's not broken down literally to every hour. A lot of their work is not done sitting at this table or this table across the hall. It's done behind the scenes.
And I'll also repeat what Deb said, which is there was weeks of additional work that was not anticipated, so that it wasn't in their original scope, so that it doesn't quite ring true to me that this is just a timing difference. So understanding that maybe there's money in the overall budget to be able to absorb it, so that we're not going to have to increase the overall budget, because that I would really expect, the idea that we didn't spend more than we expected just doesn't ring true.
Well, and so to answer that question, I would also remind folks that when we started the Cabot School project, the anticipated feasibility timing was not 36 months.
Right.
I mean, that there's no doubt. I mean, it's twice what our consultant thought it was going to be. But some of that is their risk. But again, what I can't tell you for sure is that at the next phase, are they trying to make that up? Because these are lump sum approvals. Now they have to be realistic. They couldn't double their fee, but is there 50 extra hours? That I couldn't tell you. But what I can tell you is that in any project, take Cabot. If the feasibility study took 36 months and they thought it was going to take 15, they're going to, rightfully so, assume that every phase after that is going to take much longer. Because Angel was a sleepy, quiet project. There wasn't a lot of community involvement. Everybody was just happy to get their new school. So there were a lot less meetings, a lot less time went into it. Cabot, not the case. And they know it. And what you may see as a result of this, I think you will see, is that our next project, if it's a climate, you're going to see consultants, not just ours, but anybody coming in, they read the papers. They're going to look at it and say, all right, Newton's a lot of meetings. We've got to carry a lot of time for these. So it's just the reality of the situation.
So the money that's in this list, the OPM, the designer, et cetera, $200,000, That is for work that you anticipate needs to be done, but nothing to do with any expected increase in charges because of the work that is done. This is a new work.
That's a little different.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it's new work. But again, what I was trying to say is that because they bill and do proposals based on phases, I can't say that the next phase they're not trying to make up for working 10 times as many hours in the previous phase. There's no way to know that for sure unless you did everything on C&M, but again, a lot of this work is doing in the office, and unless you park somebody behind their desk, you know, every day of the week, I can't tell you that they're putting 40 hours on this project this week or whether they're putting 80 hours on that project that week.
When do you expect to get the proposal for the next large chunk of work?
They were to do that after we got 558.
Hmm. Anybody else?
I'll make sure I have the big sheet for finance. We can dig into it.
Okay. I'll just make
a suggestion though.
Sure.
I think Council Fuller raises a bunch of great questions as does Council Albert. I would email these to Josh and get him, if there's more stuff, get it ready for finance. You know, sounds like a fair suggestion to have a full accounting of everything that's going on for that committee. So I would put some stuff together. You know, not Sean or plenty of old members get it ready for finance.
So one thing I just want to lay on the table, I guess, I attended some of those recent meetings, and as it was being discussed whether or not to consider the alternate schemes, the OPM was very clear that it was going to cost more money.
Okay.
So it just sounds to me like it's just that we haven't received the bill for that particular effort because we directed them to do it.
True, but they're not going to, because we're in a phase of a large lump, they're not going to bill for a specific, for something like that. There is a cost. I'm not saying it's not a cost. Obviously, they're putting time on it.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I don't think they're going to sit there and call out that individual time period.
Okay. Mark?
I'm ready to move it, but I just have a question for Roseanne. Are you comfortable with the site plan as proposed?
Yes. I think we did due diligence on an alternate that was promising and was worth the pause and the exploration. Ultimately, when we got down to the nitty-gritty of the educational implications of the two, based on one was a more complete design than the other, but nonetheless, we had to make the decision was incomplete. But I thought sufficient information. The unanimous vote to stick with the original one, I think, ultimately, I think all 16 of us who voted, 12, all voted for it. I think there are still some disappointed folks who still believe that the alternate was very attractive and more attractive and could have worked educationally. So I think as politicians and elected officials, when it gets to the 558 process, will you your only kudos to the site plan hit? I think you'll still probably hear from other sources.
Some point we have to make decisions. I'm ready to move it.
I have a motion to approve the $400,000. All in favor?
Thank
you
very much.
Thank
you.
Josh, it is
8-3.
Not that I
know. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. So,
thanks,
back
Josh.
To
Thank
gas. And first of all, the commissioner could join us and we'll just conclude the conversation on 163-16. This is Councilor Crossway, Laredo, and Lappin requesting a discussion with commissioners to review city policy and or ordinances governing repairs to city streets within a period of years after full reclamation and or maintenance and repaving of said streets to consider strengthening the requirements for repairs so as to protect the public investment in said streets. So we talked around this as we were discussing the two petitions, and all I was expecting tonight on this item was to lay out what it is we need to do to get our heads around this issue and what information we need to have. Some became clear tonight, and what your initial thinking is.
Sure, thank you. So as we discussed, we are looking and we are going to implement our roads policy. Of course, with input, this is part of that from all of you. Councilor Rado, it would be very favorable to be able to mill and overlay every trench, as we heard from a developer, which some eventually we see all the trenches throughout the city. Well, now those will all be new streets, so it should be something we want to consider. Again, we see it's about 3.5 times the price difference from a trench, but the life of the street, every street, all the streets in this city have a trench on them, and many of them are depressed. Again, we didn't have the technology to check those in the past. But still, we see separation in the trenches, so we get cracks. Cracks invite water. Then we see heaving, potholes. So trenches are not a good thing. So we want to try to mitigate that. And again, it's about protecting the integrity of the streets, and that's what we want to do with this policy. You know, this policy that we have, it is what it is. Does it need refinement? Yes. We've talked about maybe multi-tier. Maybe it's 5 years you don't touch the street unless it's an emergency. And then the next 5 years, we look at maybe doing an infrared process, which is another process of doing a trench and then superheating that area. It's more expensive than trenching, less than milling and overlaying, but it's something that we've seen work and work well. So we need to vet that out. We also need to get with law and make sure that we can do this. As Lou said, Braintree just implemented a 10-year moratorium. So it sounds like it can be done, but we don't want to bank on that either. Ultimately,
so that's about exempt private residences from the trenches from the 5-year 10. So there's no work from the 0 to 5. If a private residence into a trench, like a water trench or a gas trench.
For emergency?
No, for even just you know, like a gas connection to an existing pipe.
Oh, so it is sort of
from the pipe level and the pipe system. So they will put
that. That's kind of what we have.
Okay. So, Mark and then Susan, if you're done, are you done?
Yes.
Okay. So, rather than getting into the particulars of the, what you're going to do, when do you think you're going to have the policy to us?
Well, we said probably end of summer. Most likely, we wanted to wait and get all of our data first. We're already working on policies, sidewalk betterment policies. We've already been putting that together. We just want to put all this in one package, as we did with the snow plan. So it's one comprehensive package where someone can go and look and see what our policies are.
So your plan is to present to us when with your draft of what you're proposing?
I'm sorry, what do you have?
When you plan on presenting to us a draft that you're comfortable sharing with us and getting our input on?
We're expecting our street scan data in July. So I want to hold off and make sure we include that because it's very important to have an idea of really what we're looking at with this new technology and data. So I would say early fall. We have, a draft.
September.
And do you envision this policy requiring some actual city ordinances?
I'm all for the ordinances. Again, that's where the teeth are. The policy, we can write all the policies we want. We really, are they on
it? As you draft your kind of complete street policy, it would be helpful, I think, to us to, if you could provide, this is the policy, these are the three considerations and four alternatives we thought to get there. This is what we chose so that we can understand your thinking, which would be very helpful. And I really would urge you, if you think there's proactive things that we need to do by way of ordinance, that you include that in some series of recommendations to us so that we can document the appropriate items. And I would ask, before you make those suggestions, that you run it by legal so you can get their input.
Sure.
As well, because we don't want to go. I don't want to go off on a tangent about getting gung ho about something only to find out we can't do it.
Right.
So that
we'll have by September. I think I'm hearing is your draft policy of recommendations, and then we can talk about turning some of these things into ordinance.
But when it comes to the with the draft to us, it'd be really helpful, at least for me, to understand the thinking behind the draft and the proposed ordinance changes that they need. And I would hope that the proposed ordinance changes have at least been initially vetted with legal, so we don't go down with some, you know, proposal that's not viable.
Right, but we're not going to present something that we haven't made sure we can do.
Right? A question.
Okay.
All right. So,
that's the only thing about the Braintree ordinance, as you described it, is that in the 5-year period, it sounds like they don't allow anything.
5-year period, from DEA 0 to 5, they don't allow no changes.
Yeah.
Other than emergencies.
So, neither of the ones that we just approved tonight will be.
What is it? Right. The only problem is that we get the region and that get pushed out. We get to implement that strict no trench at all policy, we get pushed back. You know, here's a typical, you know, for instance, it's fall. The resident wants, you know, gas, there is gas on the street, the resident wants gas pumps. They want to convert that oil burner to gas. They've already removed the oil burner, they have no heat. So they're installing the gas furnace as we speak, and they come to us for the gas. Well, sorry, we can't have it, you know, because we just paved the road last year. We didn't get a lot of pushback for that. So I can't leave people without heat for 4 years because of the 5-year time. But these people are having the volume going up, you know, the oil burn to put in the gas.
You know what?
Okay.
But then they put it back in.
These are true stories.
I know that.
It's gone. Go ahead and throw it away. It's gone.
We're going to set policies and have ordinances. We're going to have to stick with them.
But we get pushback.
But the only thing I would add is that if Millen overlay creates a good street at the end of the day, if within the 5 years, then maybe that's something that should be considered as part of.
Yeah, and that's what we do now. We, right. You know, we, you know, so in that case, we could get away. Millen overlay is 25 feet.
Sure. And do we approve that?
But at what point, you know?
Right, this is exactly what we're going to come up against, and you're going to have consistent with that here approving that thing. So that's why we, you know, do we want the ordinance? Because that's
but if we can point to the ordinance, you can change.
Well, you're going to have to come up with some combination to recommend to us of policy, ordinance, and best practices. So if the best practices are good enough to allow, so that we can allow people to cut the street and put it back to its original condition, if that's possible, maybe that's, you know, one of the answers. Scott?
In drafting all this stuff with committees, I think it's important to put scenarios in there, too. That this committee is going to have to talk to them, or it's like that. I've talked to you about it 100 times.
Yeah.
And I'm sure everybody around the table is making the same call, too. So, you know, be careful about, you know.
Well, an ordinance would also have discretion, so you wouldn't be off the hook.
I also think there could be a plan to help address it. You know, yeah. If we understand what if the policy is more transparent and it's out there and it's understood, you know, you're always going to get the individual who cares about it. It's on hold.
Yeah.
I would like to hold this item and get on to the last item. We have a motion to hold. All in favor? All in favor of holding? Ms. Glazer?
Thank you.
It's unanimous. All right. Thank you very much. I would like to also call Alan up to the table to join us to talk about the last item. I'm hoping that we might be able to take this next item just up till 10 o'clock. Alan's done a terrific job in the memo that he provided us of laying out what the different aspects of the rulemaking for the an act relative to natural gas is about, and how it impacts our different departments, and some of the questions and comment areas that are logical. Let me just read the item into the docket. 141-16, Alderman. Well, I'm using this item, which is a discussion on tracking and improving the condition of the gas facility infrastructure. I'm not going to read the whole thing, because basically I'm using this item as a way for us to discuss natural gas leaks in the city of Newton and
what opportunity we may have before us up to the July 6th deadline to influence how the regulations are promulgated. Attorney Mandel?
Thank you. What I've done in the memo is basically walk through the DPU's proposed rules. I think it's very important to get input from the departments. This is sort of my take on it, but I tried to identify some areas where I thought department input would be helpful, and the departments also may have their own thoughts on this. And I think as we talked about it a little bit, I've had some informal conversation with Heat, and they have some good ideas that they're thinking about.
Does everybody know what
Heat
is?
I couldn't tell. I forget the acronym.
It's called Energy Efficiency Team, and it's a nonprofit located in Cambridge that has taken on this issue and raise money so that they can provide us with maps
or data. Right. And I expect that they'll be in the comments. Walking through this, I just did it kind of in order, not necessarily order of importance, but just the order of the rules. The rules, I'm looking at page 2, they have a section that allows the gas utilities to apply for exceptions to the rules. That mirrors what they have, what the DPU has under existing rules. I think the difference I found was how can you grant exceptions to things that are required by statute, that you're just kind of putting into the regulations. They're just repeating in the regulations what's already in the statute. So it wasn't clear to me how they could have that kind of provision.
Alan, I'm just going to interrupt you for just a minute. Do you want to take questions as you go through each point, or
whatever you prefer? I mean,
it might be easier to follow if there's a question for clarification. Is that what?
I just want to understand. Are you going to be just to understand what we're doing?
Okay.
Are you writing a position paper for the City of Newton to DPW?
I'm awaiting direction. I was trying to find out, really, like who's the client when it comes to this issue. Who is it that's going to be submitting comments? I'm assuming it might come through the committee. I'm not assuming that it's the mayor or anyone else, because
it would be great if we could do something with the mayor. It could impact so many departments.
Yeah, that's something that maybe the council can discuss with the mayor, because I just don't have any direction
who
on that.
Who can discuss it?
Possibly me or through the president and vice president.
Yeah. How we're going to respond affects the commentary I have on the calendar.
Well, so there's no reason that both the council and the mayor can't submit comments, or that the council can't submit a resolution incorporating the comments. There's a lot of impact on different city departments, particularly DPW and fire, but also a grant done by Mark Welch. We're trying to figure out a way to build in our concern about trees and tree deaths as a result of gas leaks and the need for tracking that, which are not considered by the utilities to be part of their work at the moment, to make it useful to the city of Newton, because we are really held hostage to the relative lack of state regulation on this matter.
Well, I'm just by way of illustration, the first item is DPW lacks the legal authority to impose regulation inconsistent with the Act. Impose if you're going to write a letter to that effect on behalf of the city, I would think it would be conveyed essentially like a legal brief. Here's the proposition, here's the case law that supports it, here's why you can't do this.
But we would be, typically what would be done, there would be comments that would be submitted section by section, depending on how you want to structure it. And then if you have revisions to the proposed rules or additions to the proposed rules, you would give them the text of what it is you want them to adopt. and then you would explain why they should adopt it. So you're right, it's a very legalistic type of thing. But yeah, that's one approach. The other approach is to send a letter and say, here are our comments. I would fix this, fix that. And
I would urge you to do the former. That's more persuasive.
Oh, and for sure. For sure.
And if we care about this, we need to be persuasive.
Alan, I think we're fortunate, has taken a great interest in this and has begun a process of communicating with the different departments. And if you are willing to go forward and from our conversation tonight and whatever input we can provide, that's useful as well draft something that we can, we have some time. We have until July 5th. We'd like to probably move something forward as of our next meeting, so we have 2 weeks till our next meeting.
Written public hearing on the 14th, written reply comments on the 19th. So we really have to get in by July 5th.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the greatest impact.
On memo.
So can you go through some of the substance of this?
Sure.
And I appreciate that there may be different ways of presenting the material, and I appreciate having your legal mind here as well.
Yeah, I mean, on this one, as I thought about it, I figured, well, there are going to be some additions to this rule that we're going to propose or someone else might propose. Maybe we don't want to wipe out this exceptions provision, but we want it modified so it would not contradict the statute, but it might apply to some other requirement, you know, or an exception might be warranted. So that's kind of where I came out. But it's, yeah, you can figure out what you want to focus on. It may be that you look at this and figure, well, there are two things you want to talk about, and this isn't one of them. So that was the first one.
May I?
Sure.
I definitely think, I mean, this is your discussion point about whether an effective municipality should find out if someone has asked for an exception. That seems really important, right? If we find out that there's some exception is going to be made, we can tell the city that an exception is going to be made. Right?
Yeah, I mean, the way this is set up is the gas company goes to the DPU.
They don't ever have to tell.
They ask for an exception, they get it, or they don't get it, and it's not a public process, really.
So in my opinion, that would be a great comment. So yes, please, please let the city know that you're making some exception to your own rule.
Okay. The next section dealt with the need for people who are involved with the gas leak classification. They have to be trained and qualified. Gas leaks have to be classified within a reasonable amount of time after they're discovered. And then there's some considerations that must be taken into account in classifying the gas leak. The gas company has to use the three classifications that are in the statute. Then also tracking the act, there's a provision that a public safety official can request the reevaluation of a grade 3 leak prior to a next scheduled survey if the official reasonably believes that the grade 3 leak poses a threat to public safety. So all of this tracks the statute for the most part. Training and qualifications, I wanted to check and see if this was something that the gas company submitted already to the DPU. But it seemed like the rule should do more than just say anybody who classifies gas leaks must be trained and qualified and leave it at that without saying anything more. I mean, there has to be some way of verifying that, one would think. So that was one point. The minimum circumstances in classifying gas leaks, It's a technical issue. I just kind of raised a question there. I think in talking to Heat, Heat may address that issue. They have things that they're considering. I guess there are some grade 3 leaks that I guess are, they describe them as super emitters. You know, that they, there's a lot of leakage, if you will, that exists even though the classification may be grade 3. They have other things they're considering about some physical specific definitions, that's their phrase. It might be if the leak is in a space near a school, within 5 feet of a house. So they have some things that they're thinking about that would fit into this and expand these minimum circumstances.
Is this the section that you were referring to where you thought that the matter of trees could be addressed with respect to the grade of the leak, or did you have another section in mind?
Well, I think it's a point worth discussing.
What page are you on?
Page 3. Because we're all struggling with the fact that grade 3 leaks essentially just pass, even if they're causing damage to shade trees. Trying to fit the a gas leak affecting a tree into grade 1 or grade 2 is problematic. You know, if you argue for grade 1, the rest of the world stops until that gas leak is remediated. And it adds another layer of work onto how fast leaks have to be responded to. It puts it on the same level as a threat of an explosion. So there could be some practical constraints on doing that. If you succeeded in making it a grade 2 leak, the gas company has 12 months to fix it, which we may not make it. Is 12 months in March?
12 months in gas? 12
months is a fairly robust leak. Well, more than 25 would be demised.
Is 12 months statutory, not regulation?
No, statutory.
So it's either 1 or 2. When you get it fixed right away, two, you get to wait 12 months.
So, and grade 3 is grade 3. You know, they're just watching weight.
Then study 1. And if they don't like the statute, they can amend the statute to create another category. But otherwise, you're not going to get the work done.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at grade 1, it has to be an existing or probable hazard to persons or property. Shade tree is property.
Okay, yeah, that answers. We're going to write this letter, okay? It's got to be an affirmative, strong statement. The regulations should be changed that leaks that are going to cause an immediate hazard to a tree, however you define it, should be considered grade 1 leaks under the statute.
I think it's true that people say, look at those people in Newton. They think it's true that
the reason is because two will kill the tree.
But it says people are property.
And they don't have to
with the gas company, which shows that they understand that the trees of the urban forest is a city asset that's valuable.
And rulemaking, they'll take the position, as Susan said, that it's property means houses, it's not trees.
But then we run the risk if they don't follow up on the rule, and if we feel strongly enough about it, we file legislation. Okay?
Don't you have to pay for the trees? Don't you have to pay for a tree that's killed by gas? But I don't think it's as important as fixing an imminent danger. But I think they should have to pay for it.
So we propose one and a half?
Something
is that up to us to propose?
The other thing,
I don't know.
We're kind of confined by the statute, but the DPU has super general supervisory authority, and they can enact regulations that are through their supervisory authority as long as they're consistent with the other statute. So you can say, well, there's nothing inconsistent about creating a regulation that deals with shade trees.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be under
Could you help us here and then literally write the opinion piece that you want to submit and then indicate to us what choices or trade-offs you've made so that we can then comment on it? Because right, Kennedy, this feels, you obviously know this very well, but this feels so amorphous to me that we're almost starting from ground zero, and I think we need you as an advocate to give us a kind of a full-blown draft, and if there's a few places you need decisions from us, we can do that.
Give it in fairness to Alan, like maybe I'm missing this, he's trying to get input from us. Right. He writes this, right?
Yeah.
So, but it is a... I know what you're saying, but it's this poor guy who's trying to get some input.
So, for example, if you said, we don't care about training and qualification.
Are you going to put that in?
We don't want to, don't bother with that. You know, we'll focus on three other things.
Let me make a suggestion. I mean, you know this stuff better than any of us. But there's this piece, which is about the document and the session of the rule making. But then there's the memo that you sent us, which to me was, it helped me understand better what your thought process is and what questions you think we ought to be and comments you think we ought to be making. I don't know about the legal format versus some other format, but this makes sense to me. Would it be more coherent for the committee for us to start from your memo and discuss the particulars of, you know, impact, the particular impact on city departments and property and so forth, and go sort of backwards?
Whatever you prefer. I mean, there's some things here that I think are clearer for discussion purposes than others. The reclassification of a grade 3 leak, you know, what's the fire chief supposed to do? What kind of guidance does he have to make a request that a leak, grade 3 leak, should be reclassified? What's the process? How is that request made? What standard is applied? If the request is made in writing, does the gas company have to respond to the request? You know, the rule of the statute doesn't say that. It just says make a request. What if they do nothing? What if they turn them down? What recourse does the public safety official have to shoot? These are questions. These are questions that the rule just leaves open. And my recommendation would be to have the proposed to the DPU that they fill in some of the blanks and add this to the rules, so that there's more guidance to public safety officials on.
Should we tell them how we think they should be filled in?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. We would draft a rule and say, you know, this is how this process works, or should work, and explain why it's needed. And, so, I mean, that's a relatively straightforward one where it's not process-oriented. Trying to clarify how the rule is going to work, so once it's adopted, people don't have to figure out now what we should do.
Right, and we can give them much, and we would like it to be interesting.
Yeah, and, you know, there's similar things when we get on, you know, input from DPW, you know, this notification of significant projects. What's a significant project? I mean, you guys probably know what that is. You can probably talk about it in National Grid and now your heads and the rules of the significant, let's go.
But it might be good to have it written out, what that means.
Does it kind of mess up the discussion that exists now if you're trying to define them? Was it too restrictive?
I think we've made great headway with that one.
I mean, there's a process now where this stuff is essentially being done without this regulation and without this statute.
Yeah, I think it is.
a lot of us get too deep into the weeds. I mean,
yeah.
Three things when we talked about it, you know, it'd be great to have a weekly updated map of galaxies. We don't have that. That would make a lot of this go away. Current gas leaks, leaks have been repaired or removed from the map. Again, the legislation is already in process for, you know, utilities cannot charge for unaccounted gas. This is going to force them to repair their leaks. You know, we can put all this stuff in there, but these three things, I think, are critical. And,
could you say the three things once more? I'm sorry, my lights are on my car. I don't know how that happened.
So a weekly updated map, so we know where the gas leaks are. It should be by community, because right now we just supply us with data that we have online, and it's impossible. It's not impossible, but they make it so you're not going to be able to do it. They don't update it. The charging for the unaccounted for gas. The utility should not be able to charge customers for unaccounted for gas. What that does, that forces them to fix their lease.
That's a separate piece of legislation.
It is. I think we need to keep harping on that because
already approved that it's a gas leak from there. It's the same issue we're having with our water.
Yes.
So how can we make them pay for that? But we have to pay.
That's not a problem. Well,
it's billable gas revenue or whatever.
That's why it went to study committee, though, truthfully, is because folks couldn't understand how to figure out where to draw the line, just what's a reasonable amount of unaccounted gas versus what students fear negligence. But keep going.
Right, and then the last one is just put a time on gas leaks. You know, we have grade one fixed immediately, grade twos 1 year, grade threes maybe never. That
seems
to be addressed.
Not good enough.
Say,
you don't think
that
maybe never
exists? I mean, grade three, if you touch a national grid, they'll say the squeaky wheel gets the response.
You
know,
so why
is it wrong? Okay, so we need to be firm about what we're looking for, because what the commission is saying.
Yeah, I mean, this one with the projects in the public way, their practices in the field now, that seem to be working, you know?
Yeah, just the requirement to coordinate.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's been working pretty well for all that I think we've had this time, because again, it's always changed. It even changes on our end.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have the street this year because actually we found out we have a water leak, so we're going to see that next year. So we move them also. But that monthly meeting we have works very well.
Yeah. Yeah, so this may be one where legalistically is one answer, but in the practical world, maybe we don't need to go there. There's another one. The gas companies are told to prioritize the pipeline repairs for gas leaks detected in the school zone. What does that mean? What does prioritize mean? I mean, you know, there's no time.
It should be more specific.
Yeah, it's not very specific.
What do you think
it's
saying?
I have no idea. I mean,
do we care that much?
About gas leaks in
the school? No. Do we care about the regulation that much? I mean, this particular one.
We care about
this one
being
on
clear.
The school zone? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it should be clear.
I think it's
saying it shouldn't be clear. I mean, that's important, it should be clear. But I think if we're going to write to them, we need to prioritize what's kind of critical to us in terms of what they do versus here's some drafting problems. Yeah, this looks like a drafting problem.
Oh, yeah. It's something where if you're a gas company, you have enough direction under this to know what to do. How fast is prioritized? You can bet that the community and the gas company are going to disagree over how fast it needs to be fixed, especially if it's take another look at it, but I don't think it's limited to grade one and grade two. But you're right. I mean, there's a hierarchy here, and that may not be at the top of the list. Funeral reporting requirements. Everyone is going to ask for a searchable spreadsheet, so we don't have to deal with these reams of paper and micro print. It's just not very user friendly, and I think that's a you know, that's definitely, you know, something that ought to be in there. The other one that we discovered was from the paper this past week, you know, the problem of missing gas leaks. You know, you get a mail report and it shows a list of, you know, what gas leaks are unrepaired, say, at the end of 2014. You go to the 2015 report, and all those unrepaired leaks, and some of those unrepaired leaks just don't show up in the 2015 report as having been fixed or still unrepaired. They just disappear. So the gas company, you know, I just read the article in the paper. I don't know much more about it, but it would seem to me that it would be relatively easy to add a requirement that if there are missing gas leaks when I file the annual report, I should say, explain it. You know, what happened? How many of them are there? What's the reason that these gas leaks just disappeared? And do they have to come up with something that's very location specific? Or do they just give general answers? One of the answers they had was, it wasn't detected by the measurement device. You know, it must have been such a small leak that it just wasn't picked up as a leak. Or, you know, they have different reasons why this stuff happens. But, I think, as a community, many people might want to know just what those leaks still out there, especially if it were a grade 2 leak. You'd want to know. So
your recommendations on this section are going to be how to organize the documents that is submitted on an annual basis to each municipality, that it should be organized at least by municipality.
Anyone who knows Excel, because I'm no Excel expert, but if, when you say that something is a searchable spreadsheet, can you have code words like Newton, and then it's going to print out, you know.
Or can just print out the report and send it to us?
Yeah.
I mean,
we can get a hard copy of it, but
hello.
It's very hard to use.
It's not by community.
So, this is a discussion thing. You know, what's the best way to ask for this? You know,
it should be a reporting feature. They should have to report it to each community.
Well, we have to comment on the regulations.
Okay. It's almost time for another meal. We have one right now.
We're going to close here, so we're going to include
it. First of all, we have a room. They were trying to clean it up. I thought they even were taking it. So pack it up and people can take stuff.
I
hope not.
So I agree that we should just be very straightforward and use any opportunity within the limitations of this, but push it a little to say how the information is useful to us, because it's not useful how we do it. I got a printout of the whole thing. It's just unintelligible.
Do we have a meeting coming up between now and July 4th?
We have one more in 2 weeks.
And do we have, are we putting this back on the agenda then?
I would like to, but I would like to understand where it is we're going.
I would hope we have, personally, I hope we have a draft letter that the mayor would be, that hopefully the mayor would sign, perhaps with on behalf of the city. I think it should come from the mayor ideally, which we would bless and speak formally. Maybe formally.
I'd like to do it formally. I mean, to me, this is a issue that has serious consequences all across the city, and we all hear about it all the time.
I'm fine with that. I just don't know mechanically how we get it through the city council in time to get it out by the 5th.
We can do a letter.
There must be a full board after our next meeting.
What we might be able to do is do this letter and then do a resolution supporting the letter, and you know, we could attach that to the letter or something like that. You know what I mean?
The letter won't. We're not going to have a full board meeting until after this letter is due.
Our full board meeting is July, not until July 11th.
Oh. Okay. So maybe just the letter signed by all of us.
I'm comfortable with a letter signed by the president, the chair of the
Public Facilities Committee and the mayor. I mean, I'm fine with that. I don't think you can
On behalf of.
Yeah, because it's technically not an item that we're
exactly.
Right. Correct.
Yeah.
No, so, this is just an opportunity.
Right. I would hope that if either one of the two or one of the three of you, or all three of you, would be willing to sign a letter with the mayor. I don't think we need a resolution, but I think it would be most helpful.
I would think it was a document, but it's a different document.
Yeah,
I would like it. It would be most helpful, Alan, if in advance of next meeting, so we can have a discussion about it. We have a pretty solid working draft of the letter so that we could get some commentary and then you all have direction.
Yeah, that wouldn't take that long to put together. So.
And find a place to put the issue of trees. I don't think it can be in one, but it should be addressed somehow.
Yeah, this is, I've been thinking about it. I mean, it's almost like there ought to be a separate rulemaking.
Mm-hmm. It should be.
Not to try and put it into this one.
Or what you say, it's property, and that's
I don't think there's any harm in raising it, because they're going to do with our comments what they will.
Yeah,
but there's no harm in raising it, even if it's a little bit out of context, to make the point.
Yeah.
And then perhaps it becomes a separate piece of legislation that...
There is a bill that's gone nowhere on trees. You know, this is another Ehrlich bill.
So then let's put it in one.
It was just,
see what happens.
Put in. Make it strong.
Yeah, I mean, it's trying to make... The tree issue is not a strong one under these rules, under this statute.
But as Deb said, we're making some policy statements in here, okay?
Yeah.
The commentary on the proposed regulations, but it's also a policy commentary. And I agree with you 100%. Make it really strong.
Yeah.
Well, I think we can definitely do that in terms of the need for rules dealing with tree damage. Let them figure out where they want to put it. You know,
and the bottom line here is that companies have been negligent in maintaining their infrastructure, and it is burdening municipalities enormously in many different ways.
Because
It costs us money, it affects people's health. We haven't even talked about methane, which are huge. Everything we save by every energy efficiency measure we've put in place over the last 5 years is erased by the amount of methane emissions.
Yeah.
Well, I think that needs to be put in there.
Yeah, I mean, there are other states that are approaching this differently, you know, where... the tree damage would be a great one.
In your letter, it'd be extremely helpful to say other jurisdictions have found ways to deal with the C New York California lava. I mean, that would be useful for them.
Yeah, I mean, there are all kinds of stakeholders, especially in the environmental area, that I'm just not in touch with. I mean, there's the people that have a much better hand on the pulse of this, what's going on in other states.
Maybe the health, if they don't recognize it as a health issue, maybe we just look at it as the bottom line. And this is what we've spent on energy efficiency, and this is what we try to do here, and this is how much you've cost us. Maybe that'll get some attention.
We can get the emissions numbers from Andy Savage and the intern who's been
let's make it a monetary case.
If
that's something they might, then if they don't care about health.
And there's a couple of people in the city of Newton who are experts in different aspects of this. I invited Nathan Phillips to come tonight. He's traveling. He was recently quoted in a paper on this matter. So, he might be someone who's, I'm sure he'd be willing, if he has the time in the next week or so, to talk to you, if not get together and take a closer look at this.
Do you want a motion to hold, and then we take it up?
Do you want to go home?
honestly, no, I like to show the
No more aggressive, okay?
I know.
That's true, it is. That's
Do you feel like you have enough input from us at the moment to begin a draft? I'm happy to work with you on it. I bet that Councilor Laredo would be happy
I'm happy to do that. I would like to get some fire department input, from Mark, you know, from Jim, just to make sure that if there's anything that's said that relates to any of their areas that, you know, that they've had a chance to look at it. And,
of course.
Yeah, I mean, one of the frustrations I think we've all had is with getting information in more real time.
Yeah.
We get the grade one information. We get grade two repairs.
I understand.
Month
so
after month.
You've been very strong about saying that it's critical for us to have this information timely.
Yeah, but as an example, National Grid did, I guess every 2 years they do a walkthrough, like a walkthrough inspection. And they were telling us that they turned up a number of gas leaks that they hadn't realized were there. So some of them were grade two leaks. So we said, well, can you give us a couple of people, DPW, the fire department, said, well, can you give us the grade two information? And they said, go to the DPU and ask them. Well, I know that the DPU doesn't have that. So I emailed the DPU, the staff wrote back, we don't have that. If you requested it, we wouldn't ask them to give it to you. We would only do it if we were doing a pipeline inspection ourselves. So in other words, you know,
no accountability.
Yeah, the big circle. So we'll mention that because there is a need to have that information, and but that's something. And then with grade threes, I've been asked after that in part to help Mark so we could locate where this stuff is. And they send back an answer, well, we give that to DPW, but it's only for their use. Mm-hmm. And you get grade 3 weeks from them all, you know,
the public record?
No, they let us know what they repaired over the month.
Yeah.
And that's all they'll do is give us a list. So, you know, again,
is it public record?
It does.
No,
they'll tell you to go to DPU.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, eventually, it could be public. You know, it's public record. I would imagine. Like, again, there's no, you know, it's simple things like you said, like this map. You know, and there's other people that do this. This isn't something that they can't be done.
Well, they must have it.
I'm happy to talk to you at any time about this in the next week or so.
Sure.
Yeah, I appreciate your interest in
this. I'm looking
at that. And your efforts. So we'll look forward to the draft. And you can get it to us.
Okay.
Can everybody here take some of this stuff?
I will. I will put that in the record.